highest of heights to the depths of the sea.
Jesus finally goes, so yeah, it's an issue of the heart. Jesus goes on in verse 31, he says, furthermore, it's been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say unto you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. In Jesus' day, many people interpreted the Mosaic permission for divorce as granting virtually any reason as grounds for divorce. Some rabbis taught this and even extended to allow a man to divorce his wife if she burnt his breakfast. The issue of divorce revolved around the strict or loose interpretation of the word uncleanness in Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. Those who wanted to make divorce easy had a loose interpretation. Jesus makes it plain that the idea of uncleanness is sexual immorality, not anything the wife might do to displease the husband. Now let's join Pastor Rob as he concludes chapter 5 in the Gospel of Matthew.
Why then should I look upon a young woman, and every man in this room, we need, and ladies too, we need to make a covenant with our eyes. We need to make a covenant with our eyes. And adultery is not just something physical. It's in the mind. And it could be a progression. I believe that anyone who is even dating or seeing somebody who is married is on the path and committing adultery. You may not be physically involved in it, but there is certainly spiritual and emotional adultery. That communion and investing in somebody else and their life, when that life, that communion belongs to them and their spouse. You have no right, no business dating or spending emotional time with somebody who is married. You are on very shaky ground. At the very least, you're committing fornication or adultery in your mind, and you need to get out of that situation immediately, because adultery is betrayal of the worst kind. It's the most painful. Do not flirt around with a married person. Run away from that. I don't care how good looking he or she is. You are breaking up a marriage. And if they have kids, you are hurting those kids. There is so much damage that happens here. My mom and my brother, as you know, they're both retired now, but they were in law enforcement all their lives. And I heard the many, many stories of these domestic abuses. And usually it was adultery or cheating on somebody. People would be killing each other when they found out somebody had, their wife had cheated on them. And it, many times, not all the time, but many times it does lead to murder. So how serious is it? God knows how serious it is. That's why he tells us to stay away from that. It doesn't take very much, and when you got a jealous husband or a jealous wife that you've been messing with, you better be careful. You better be really careful. I would advise you today to break it off and never speak to them again. If you do not, you will pay the price. You will pay the price. It doesn't just hurt you and the other person. Adultery hurts the other person's spouse and that other person and their children, even their grandchildren, not to mention the possibility of STDs and monkeypox and AIDS and many other things that are going on. You are in trouble if you're flirting with this, and you need to stop today because you're in sin, and God is going to hold you accountable to that. So turn today. Do not waste any time. Break it off today. And he goes on, and aren't you glad you came this morning? And then Jesus, and I have to have a little levity here because everyone's going, oh my gosh, I want to leave this place now. He's speaking right to me. Actually, it's not me, it's God. That's his word. But Jesus goes on a little further, and this is even more exciting and frightening. If your right eye causes you to sin, then pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body to be cast into hell. Yes, Gehenna, the lake of fire. That's what he's speaking of. It'd be better for you to take out your eye, if that's what's causing you to sin, than to go to hell. And yes, hell is very real. In Revelation, it tells us that hell is very real. This is where ultimately you will be judged, where an unbeliever will be judged. They will be cast into outer darkness because of these things that they're doing. It would be better, if you're an unbeliever, it would be better for you to cut off your hands and pluck out your eyes if those things are causing you to sin. And of course, it can still happen in the heart, right? We know that's true. But Jesus isn't saying to cut off your hands. He's not saying to literally pluck out your eyes, but he's saying, will you take it that seriously? Will you take it that seriously, what you're doing? Because we need to take it that seriously, because what we do with these eyes and these hands, if they lead us down the road to perdition, we better do something drastic. And again, he's not saying cut off your hands and pluck out your eyes, but you'd better think of it that way. You'd better take it that serious. And then he goes on, and if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body to be cast into hell. And of course, we know that that's not the case. Meaning, we know it's not he doesn't really want you to cut off your hands, but we do need to take it seriously. We need to take sin seriously. So train your eyes and your thoughts, family. Train your eyes and your thoughts. Because I know this for a fact, that the more you give in to the lust of the eyes, the more power lust will have over you. It's like pouring gasoline on a fire. You will constantly be keeping that fire ignited. But the more you deny the lust of the eye, the easier it will be for you when the temptation comes and it won't have a mastery over you. So turn away from those things. It tells us in Philippians, and I love this, finally, brethren, whatever things are true. And here's one thing to consider. Instead of dwelling on the evil things, think whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, and whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Yes, you have to train your mind and your heart again. You have to train your heart and your mind. But I promise you this, because I'm doing it myself and have, you know, I'm not finished by any means, but I don't look at that stuff. I mean, I'm working at these things. Every man in this room knows what I'm talking about, and most women. You got to train your eyes and your mind. And there's nothing wrong with seeing a woman. Because I can look at a woman, and I can see her for who she is, but that's all I'm seeing. I'm seeing a child of God. I'm not, in my mind, doing other things. I'm not staring at her. I'm not gawking at her. Do you follow? And it's a wonderful thing when you realize, you know what, I can look at this person, even though she's beautiful, whoever it may be, I can look upon them and I'm not totally twisted in my head. Our culture doesn't understand that. Our culture has given into that completely. So you're a rare breed if you can do that. But I would encourage you to train your heart, train your eyes, because by doing so, little by little, that desire, that temptation, that lust is going to slowly die out. But trust me, if you feed it, it's going to be an inferno. And that's why you see people doing awful things, horrible things. Mostly it's men. But even now, some women, because our culture is so debased. Jesus finally goes, so yeah, it's an issue of the heart. Jesus goes on in verse 31, he says, furthermore, it's been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say unto you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. It's interesting that One leading teacher in Israel has taught, a man could divorce his wife if she spoiled his dinner by placing too much salt on his food, if she went in public with her head uncovered, if she talked with men in the streets, if she were a brawling woman. I don't know how many of you women are brawling, but if she was a brawling woman, if she spoke disrespectfully of her parents, her husband's parents in his presence, or if she were troublesome or quarrelsome. And one rabbi even taught that a man could divorce his wife if he found another woman more attractive than his wife. But what does Jesus say? There's one reason that you can divorce your wife, if you so choose, and that's because of adultery or fornication. That's the only reason that God says you are, if you choose to do that, then you're justified. And that's the only justification that there is. Jesus says, therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. And Jesus said, and I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. And so God takes marriage seriously. He hates divorce. In Malachi, what does it tell us? For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce. For it covers one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. And many people have gotten or been divorced for reasons other than adultery and have been remarried. And these situations, God can forgive. He can forgive somebody who is divorced for wrong reason. It's not the sin that's going to send you to hell. You confess it as sin and you move on. And some people have had a divorce for other reasons, and now they're living happily, and everything is wonderful. Well, you know what? Then you continue and serve the Lord and love her and love him the way they ought to be. But it's never been that. His initial design was never for that. Everything can be worked out. And some have even said, you know what? Even though you have committed adultery on me, I forgive you. I don't want to divorce you. We got three wonderful kids. We got two wonderful kids. We got one child, whatever it may be. And we've got this home. And there are men and women that have done that. And I tell you what, they could have divorced, but they decided to forgive and to move on. But don't let that other person continue in that sin. And the person who has been hurt by that, it's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of time to build that trust and to heal from that wound that's so incredibly deep. Oh my goodness. It's the worst breach possible. And yet there are people who said, I choose to forgive you and I want to work it out. And the other spouse who committed the adultery says, I am not worthy. And they aren't. Because by God's definition, she has every right, or he has every right to divorce based on that. But how great is that when God allows something like that and both people are willing to continue to fight, not fight physically, but to go through this together and work it out and to build the trust and to build the intimacy again. And it takes time. And they go for it. I've seen it myself, and it's the most glorious thing you've ever seen. Because that is unusual. But if you're able to do it, praise the Lord. If God's given you the grace, then do it, because that's by far better to do. But let not that person who committed the adultery ever do it again. Because you may not have that same grace the second time. He or she may say, you know what, you did it the first time, and I bared my heart to you. I cried my eyes out. I struggled with trusting you. You do it again, I'm done. So don't play games with it. Don't play games with it. Take marriage seriously and don't treat it as a transient promise like people in Hollywood do. They change spouses like they change their shoes. And young people, I want to encourage you to take your time. Take your time. Don't be in any big rush and big yank to get married. Yes, I get it, the hormones, I get it. I had them too when I was younger, and I totally get it. But take your time. Better to find the spouse that God has for you under the right direction, under the right circumstances, than for you to make a mistake. Trust me, you are better off waiting and praying and waiting and doing it right. Do it right. Do not mess around. Do it right. And go to the altar, both of you virgins. I've seen some of the most glorious weddings in this church where two young people have gotten married and both of them have never been with anybody in their life. And they have come up here and it's been one of the most beautiful things you've ever seen. It's beautiful and God is all over it. He's all over it. He can't help himself. He sees something like that and he's like, my stamp of approval. And there is joy. There is such great joy. I love it. So take your time. Be patient. Don't be in a rush. We're going to take communion now. If the worship team could come on up. And I want to leave you with a proverb before we worship. And it's applicable to today's message. Solomon wrote it, one of the wisest men in the world, and yet, even in his wisdom, he engaged in all kinds of things to prove that God's word is ultimately true. He said this, and this is something that we all need to really consider, a very simple verse, Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The issues of life, everything that we've talked about so far are the issues, some of them, and probably the most front and center in our culture right now. I could have spent a whole nother hour on this, or two or three, actually, but it's serious business, folks. Keep your heart, guard it, guard your heart with all diligence, guard it. Guard your eye gate, guide your ear gate, guide everything you put your hands to. Keep your heart, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And every one of us is touched by the same thing, one way or another, somewhere, given time and opportunity. We are all going to be experiencing the very same thing, be in the same circumstances. There's nothing under the sun that's not going to come your way, or has come your way, or will come your way. But your attitude of how you prepare your heart now is tantamount. It is the most important thing. Encourage you with all of my heart, folks, church. Let's live lives of purity. Let's take our relationships seriously with our spouses. Let's love them. And let's not flirt with anything anymore. Let's not flirt with it. Just be done with it. And when you fall, if you fall, when you fall, do you throw in the towel? No, you confess it and you fight through it and you keep fighting and you keep fighting and you never stop fighting and you continually give your heart to Christ and let him shape you and mold you. It's a beautiful, hard, difficult process for us. But God is in it for the long haul. Are you in it for the long haul? Are you willing? I'm willing. Lord, do it. Amen. Amen. As the worship team begins, just feel free to come on up and grab the elements, take them back to your chair, and we'll take it together, okay? Paul the Apostle, as he wrote to the Corinthians, he said in chapter 11, verse 23, he says, for I receive from the Lord that which I also deliver to you. Notice, he receives something, he's giving it. I love that. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do in as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. We proclaim it. He died for us, folks. And here is the symbol of his body being broken on the cross. Let's partake. And again, he passed the cup around. And he said, this is the new covenant of my blood. And Jesus said that hours before he would actually accomplish it. And yet, to him, it was as if it had already come to pass. He knew it was coming. It was for this purpose that he came into the world. It didn't shock him. He was no martyr. He willingly laid down his life. And so we take this, the very blood of God. Do you understand that? More than any, people have been crucified throughout history, but there's only one who was on the cross, whose blood was holy. If you look into, we look at this around Christmas time, but there was no blood of a human. It was the very blood of God. The blood between the mother and the child doesn't mix. Do you know that? And Joseph had nothing to do with it. So whose blood was that? It was the very blood of God, and that's the blood that was shed. That's why his sacrifice is sufficient once for all. We don't do this to reenact that. We do this in remembrance of what he has already done, that we believe in. And his sacrifice is what holds us. His sacrifice is what holds us in his hand. And no one on earth above or on earth below can pluck us out of his hand. Aren't you blessed? Aren't you thankful for that? So let's take this in rejoicing in what he has done for us, having communion with him. Praise the Lord. If you could do me a favor, if you could take these little things and bring them with you when you get up, and by the doors as you leave, you can put those in the trash containers. That'd be really helpful, because ants really love this stuff if it's left behind and we don't see it for a week. They really like it a lot, and we don't want to give them that much excitement, okay? So if you could do that, please. Let's stand and let's pray. Thank you for your patience, by the way. Lord, we thank you for this part of the scripture. Lord, it has really ground me to powder. And no doubt, Lord, it's ground most of us, if not all of us, to powder, Lord. And that's a good thing. Lord, if we're serious about it, it's meant to do that. And Lord, you share these things, Lord, not because you have displeasure with us, Lord, but to warn us, even as children of God, Lord, that we never should be anywhere near any of this stuff. Lord, give us a great desire and the fortitude, Lord, the strength spiritually to resist these things and to not entangle ourselves with these things. And when and if we do, Father, we know that it's not all doom and gloom, Father, because we can come to you, and Lord, your promise is still true after all these years. If we confess our sins, you are faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord, and we do fail. But Lord, we ask that you would give us a heart to really to follow you and to love you and to let you do it through us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
That's the end of our lesson for today, but please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues our study in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.